There are fewer than 30 men in the world qualified to drive Formula One. A mere half dozen, perhaps, to win. At this moment, I'm inclined to think you're not one of them.
No, you want to.
Keep up the good work, Stephen, and there you have it. There you go.
Hello, this is Desiree for F1Weekly.com. I'm your in-depth correspondent.
Let's go with the qualifying, Steve.
Welcome to F1Weekly.com. My name is Clark Rogers. I'm the host of the program. I'll be joined by Nasser Hamid, my co-host. This is podcast number 682, June 18th, 2015. Nasser?
Thank you, sir. Greetings and racing regards to all, from Toronto to Tetre Rouge and everything in between. Back to you, Marshall.
Thank you, Nasser. On today's program, Kimi wants more danger and what pay cut? Michelin wants to come back. Isn't Porsche and Audi the same? Red Bull says it's all Renault's fault that we're not having fun. And, of course, stay tuned for Motorsports Mondial with the King. Nasser, welcome to the studio. How are you?
Very good, sir. Thank you. Really looking forward to the next Grand Prix coming up in a few days. But, man, what a race we had at Circuit Sarthe.
Yeah, Circuit de Sarthe, Le Mans, 24 Heures du Mans. Allez hop, on y va, monsieur.
There you go, man. I mean, this was fantastic.
Yes, fantastic. Nico Hülkenberg says that I'm a man. I do have big testicles. Leave me alone.
Well, you know, talking of Nico Hülkenberg winning at Le Mans in his first attempt is, question is, will a top team call him or have Pedro de la Rosa send a text message saying, your services are now required?
It's very different. I mean, it's very tough. The worst part is even Nahrain Karthikeyan texted him. So, I don't know what that means, but it's a tough world. I mean, when you have people like Lewis Hamilton, and this is stunning. I mean, absolutely stunning, but I know he's a busy guy. He said that he has never even watched Le Mans, has no interest in Le Mans. I mean, this guy is out there, dude, in the world of the bling, 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 bling.
Well, you know, I find it hard to believe, but, you know, to each his own. But, you know, what impressed me with Nico's victory, that this is the first time an active Formula One driver has won Le Mans since 1991 when Johnny Herbert won for Mazda. And do you know, I know why Nahrain Karthikeyan called Nico Hülkenberg.
And?
He said, I like all Germans who don't call me or consider me a cucumber.
That's very true. The cucumber thing did come up in conversation.
Yeah, of course, it has to. It was a classic thing.
Yes, but no, very exciting Le Mans 24 hours. Outstanding. Porsche did what they had to do. But on the other hand, isn't it called Porsche Audi?
Yeah, and VW.
I mean, is it the East Wing competing against the West Wing? I'm not sure. But nevertheless, it was exciting to see Audi lose. I was so happy to see Nico Hülkenberg win. Mark Webber was gracious for not winning. He got the penalty, 1 minute drive through. But nevertheless, fantastic Grand Prix. I'm looking forward to more excitement like this. And it's time that we see Fernando go to Le Mans, Vettel go to Le Mans, Kimi Raikkonen go to Le Mans. We've got to get some real racing out of these guys because we're not getting flat-out racing out of Formula One unless Michelin comes back and changes things because they say we can make it happen.
Yes, and you know, this race, I taped quite a bit of Le Mans coverage and I've been enjoying every day a little bit. And so this is great, you know. And Hulk is also the first rookie to win this classic event since 1998 when French driver, you all probably know him, Laurent Aiello, won for Porsche with Alan McNish and Stefan Ortelli as co-drivers. And, you know, not to be overshadowed by Nico Hülkenberg's achievement, this is also a first victory at first attempt by his co-driver from New Zealand, Earl Bamber. English driver Nick Tandy was the third driver for the winning car, and he is totally over the blue moon. And victory, talking about Audi being defeated by Porsche. This was win number 17 for the German Mark from Stuttgart, which is also home to another Deutschen Mark, Mercedes-Benz. And I think we will see them in a on a winning streak in, on Sunday. Sunday! Some years ago, I ran into an English journalist at a American Le Mans event at Laguna Seca, and we were talking about sports car racing, Formula One. He had no interest in Formula One, but he said to me about Le Mans that Le Mans is a French race for British fans, for German cars to win. And that has been coming true for the last 16 years, I think.
I don't understand.
Well, the race is mostly won by German cars.
Really? Huh.
Yeah, well, this Lordi, I think, won like 13 of the last 15 years, and the way Porsche went this time, it's going to be them and Audi for the next few years, I think.
Well, all I know is this was the 83rd running of Le Mans, so you must be talking about recent history, because I've seen other teams win that weren't darn Germans.
Oh, like driven by Pironi and Jean-Pierre Jossot?
Holy Chateau de la France!
Something like that. Yeah, well, when I went there in 2009, it was won by Peugeot.
You know what they call that? La Griffe du Lion. Which was exciting, and that was in 2009, my friend, and we were on top.
Yeah, and I was there.
And you were there. And the reason why Porsche and Audi are winning is because Peugeot's not there.
Really?
Yeah, we decided to let other people win.
Well, you know, I'm really excited about this assignment, this announcement that came on Friday before the race. There's a Ford in your future. Of course, this is a major news coming from Le Mans, that Ford Motor Company will return to Le Mans in sports car racing in 2016. This will also mark the 50th anniversary of the historic win in 1966. And they had this beautiful red, white Ford car there, and the number was 66, and I thought that was very cool. And at this time, drivers have not been announced, but our good friend, Scott, hi to my family from France, Pruitt, was at the press conference. He is really like the Energizer Bunny, keeps going and going. In the mid-80s, he was a rising young star of American racing and was involved in incredible battles with Willie T. Reeves in both Trans Am and IMSA GTO races. And he comes from the Sacramento area, so he's a Cali boy.
Yeah. Well, Scott Pruitt will not be driving the car next year. Trust me, I know everything.
Why do you say that?
Because he's too old and there's just too much talent out there in the pool of love.
Yeah. I would love to see, by the way, this program, both at Le Mans and United Sports Car Series here, which is the joint name for what used to be Grand Am and American Le Mans, the program will be run by Chip Ganassi Racing, which is good because, as they say, if you want to win, go with winners.
I understand, but Chip Ganassi has never done Le Mans before, so...
Well, let me just tell you what Ford did last time around. Mm. They got the best drivers from all over the world. Mm. And a friend of mine was telling me, he was very knowledgeable about sports car racing, that they even have some drivers who were contracted to GM Chevrolet just to make a big American onslaught. And I'm very, very excited. And I hope they bring fantastic drivers from Ford is a global company, bring the best talent and kick some booty.
Well, the first talent they need to recruit is obviously from Oviedo.
Oh, yes. I thought you were going to say the biggest talent from this side of the pond, Danica Patrick.
No, that would go to Greg Biffle.
Not to Dick Trickle?
Dick Trickle is not in the mood.
Okay. Oh, yeah.
You understand?
I understand that. Comprende?
Yeah. So anyway, quickly, I know it was exciting, but now we have to think about Austria, and we have to talk about some of the statements that have been coming out of the Red Bull garage.
One quick question for you, sir. Have you ever been to the Le Mans 24-hour race?
No, I've... yes, I was there. Boy, I can't even remember what year.
Like when you were a two-year-old kid?
When I was a young whippersnapper.
Okay. And youth. But any interest in going there next year, such a big event now?
Only if somebody picks up the tab.
Oh, wow. Yeah, I know somebody who will.
Excellent.
Clark Rogers is the name.
Really?
Okay, man, I am excited about Grand Prix de Österreich Ring. Well, it's called Red Bull Ring now. This is a fast track, and chances are awfully good that LCH and his teammate, the other Nico, will be the main players in both quali and the race. It may never rain in Southern California, but it does rain quite a bit in and around Salzburg, and much was expected from Sebastian at Ferrari in Canada. And we shall see in Austria if the upgrades and token has produced enough speed to threaten LCH and his charge to the third, to his third world championship.
Very, very true. I mean, it will be boring. Everything will be very predictable. But what's funny and laughable is Kimi Raikkonen's reaction to the questions from the press. And, of course, Red Bull now blaming Renault for taking the fun and the excitement out of F1, meaning that if Red Bull is not having fun, they might go somewhere else. I don't know, but I know one thing. Talk about being morons and idiots. I remember when they were having some problems with Pirelli tires a few years ago. Red Bull just was down on Pirelli, slapping them down. I mean, Red Bull, if they're not successful, if they're not winning, it's everybody's fault. I mean, for once, I would like to see Red Bull say, you know, maybe we're just not doing well because we're not doing the right things together as a team.
Yeah, it has become very, very public and very nasty. But, you know, talking of Kimi Raikkonen, for him, it is Ferrari or Stoli next year. He said in an interview in Austria that he wants to be in Formula One next year, but only with Ferrari. And like you said, he was very upset at the journalist who wrote that Kimi will have to take a pay cut at Ferrari, to stay at Ferrari. And basically, you know, he asked the journalist, have you seen my contract? And why don't you start writing something that makes sense? So Kimi is like, whoa, going like a Karelia warrior now.
Yes, it's fantastic. I love it. He's pissed off. He thinks the press sucks.
Yeah, and you know, this Red Bull thing is very, very pathetic. I can understand if this was happening in their second year of like not winning a championship. But this thing is they're just pissing on Renault right, left, north, south, east, west.
Yeah, and I'm hoping that Renault gets a team, tells Red Bull no more motors for you, we'll pay a penalty, whatever, and then we're going to whoop ass. You know that, you know the can of whoop ass?
Yes.
Yes, well, they're going to open that can of whoop ass, and they're going to whoop ass on some Red Bull. Because how many teams have won a world championship with a B-specification Ferrari motor?
The thing is, you know, if they cannot work with Renault, just try to work out a pretty decent sayonara from both sides. But this kind of stuff they are doing, throwing them under the bus, you know, every day, is very, very bad. And Dietrich Mateschitz said something like, we're not very good at playing second fiddle and paying a high price.
Yeah.
And some of the comments that I read were something like, from us, they have taken not only our time and money, but our competitive edge, and how will we be motivated with this kind of a motor? That's very, very bad.
It's not only very bad, but he better check the fuel intake on the Formula One cars at Red Bull in Austria, because there could be remnants of white powder.
Uh-oh.
Exactly.
Yeah, you never know.
You never know. You make people mad, they get mad back.
Well, you know, there used to be a French mafia, and they were talking, what are we talking, Corsica or Marseille?
Yeah, as a matter of fact, I texted my friend in Marseille, and he's going to take care of business.
Monsieur Guido?
Sacré bleu. So, yeah, all that stuff pisses me off. What happened to good sportsmanship?
No, this is pathetic. I mean, this is not the way to go.
No, not in Formula One. Don't get me wrong. If these guys were running dirt track races and they were called Greg Biffle and Company, I expect this kind of petty finger-pointing. But at this level, the pinnacle, where everybody's supposed to have class and sophistication and that je ne sais quoi, what happened?
Yeah, they want to win so badly that they will say anything to look good. I mean, that's not good. That is very, very bad. And I don't think it's going to get any worse. This will end up in some sort of a parting of the way.
Oh, absolutely. But you know what? Red Bull could contact Chevrolet.
Yeah, well, they already have Mario Illion helping Renault to get this problem fixed. The problem is, you know, not many, with all the rules and regulations and prohibitions, it's very hard for Renault to do anything. And that's, you know, what they're trying to plead with, especially Mercedes, to agree with them. You know, misery loves company. Honda is in the same boat.
Yeah, but not only that, with that kind of talk from Red Bull, where is Renault's motivation?
Yeah.
There isn't any. Why would they want to help Red Bull after they've been thrown under the bus? As far as Renault is concerned, you know what? I think we're going to tune it down a little bit. Watch you go finish 17th or 18th this weekend. Have a nice evening.
Okay, Mr. Rogers, you're getting a little emotional here.
That's right. I'm bitter. Bitter.
Angry and bitter.
Yep. So there you have it. That's my tip of the day. But on the other hand, Williams is expected to come out fighting. We've got Lotus going, whoa, we can do it. And Nico Hülkenberg in the Force India is going to be the one to watch in this Grand Prix, Nasser, because his motivation is going to be pumping.
Yeah, and Vijay Mallya was at Le Mans to see his whippersnapper, who is now already 27 years old, do a fantastic job. And, you know, talking of Lotus, like, I hope they can keep the momentum from Montreal going. And we really want some team to really come in, appear on the podium, challenge LCA or crash into Nico Rosberg. You know what I'm saying?
Absolutely, absolutely. Now, let's get to Michelin. Michelin has submitted the application up against the deadline of June 17th for supplying Formula One. They want 18-inch wheels. They want to be more moderne, as they say. Should be interesting. Of course, who makes the decision? It's not Bernie. People are, you know, they think Bernie has that big button on the top of his desk, yay or nay. But it's not that way. The biggest problem is a lot of the teams. I mean, Mercedes is winning on 13-inch Pirellis. Why would they want to change to 18-inch Michelins?
Well, you know, Michelin, like you said, is proposing 18-inch wheels, saying that. What I liked was their tires will allow drivers to race to the max, you know, not this fuel economy run and all that nonsense. But what I've heard on the web, or read on the web from different sources, that most of the team principal are not interested in 18-inch wheels, so Michelin might be cutting their own throat.
Well, the biggest problem is Michelin wants it to be relative to today. Now, the team principals, their whole concept is they can make the car as light as possible. Unfortunately, the 18-inch wheels add mass and weight over 4 kilograms per corner. So, I understand that. I mean, I understand. But those are wimpy excuses. We can compensate for 4 kilograms on each corner of the car. I think Michelin trying to get Formula One back up to, should I say, speed instead of saving fuel, saving tires, is a good concept. Because we saw what happened at Le Mans. Lap by lap, everybody's flat out. You could run these tires flat out and not be concerned about them. Your only concern is your RPMs and your speed. So, I don't know. But I'm old-fashioned.
Yeah, and not surprisingly, very grumpy today.
Very grumpy.
Talking of Williams, they were on the podium last race, right, with Bottas?
El Botato.
Yeah, and last year they were on pole with Felipe Massa at Celtrack Circuit, Red Bull Ring. So I hope that they also, you know, put some pressure or come in between Nico and LCH, or between Vettel and one of the McLaren drivers. We need some excitement, not artificial excitement, if you know what I mean.
I want real excitement, and the real excitement will be to see Honda actually do something good for a change.
Well, you know, now they're talking about, will McLaren's patience run out? I'm sure these parties have invested a lot of time and money, but it's really, really looking bad. You know, when Honda came out with Barr, remember when Jacques Villeneuve and Craig Pollock bought a team?
Yep. Oh, yeah. Very exciting.
I mean, they went through the growing pains, but nothing like this. This is like Trabant technology.
Trabant technology, but yeah. Don't forget, the Trabant was recyclable.
I guess these engines are, because they're not used much.
Yes, exactly. No, not only that, so Fernando Alonso will be taking a penalty in Austria, but he will have all the latest advances by Honda himself. They don't have enough to share with Bouton, so we'll see what happens. Because Fernando Alonso, as Eric Boullier said, he may go mad.
Uh-oh. You know what that means?
Yes.
That means talking to your physio during an important pit stop.
Yep. The physio comes in, there's texting, it's out of control.
But, you know, one good thing that Dietrich Mateschitz has done, he saved Toro Rosso and this track where they are going to race on Sunday. This was abandoned for many years, and the original layout at the Österreichring was very fast and saw the one and only Grand Prix win for Roger Penske's team in Formula One way back in 1976 with John Watson as the driver. And he had promised Roger Penske, if he wins a race, in those days he used to have a big beard that he would shave, so which he did. And a year earlier, in 1975, Penske lost his friend and driver, Mark Donohue, after he crashed in Sunday's warm-up session at the Oosterreich Ring, which was very sad. Donahue was the guy who gave Penske his first IndyCar win in 1972, so these names are very important. And when Dietrich Mateschitz bought the facility, and he has done a great job in bringing Formula One back to the land of Jochen Rindt and Niki Lauda, so there is some good in Dietrich, good old Dietrich.
I don't see any good in Dietrich. I am tired of his bellowing bad things about Renault.
Yeah, but with the regulations, there's nothing Renault or Honda can do that will make this engine package competitive right now.
Absolutely, I agree. Honda and Renault are up the creek without a paddle.
Yes.
So it is what it is. But let's hope that both McLarens finish. Let's hope that both McLarens are in the points. And let's hope there's rain so Fernando can win this Grand Prix like I predicted in the previous podcasts.
I would like to see Max Verstappen on the podium in one of these races.
Yeah, because Jos will be in the back sipping his soup.
Yeah.
Yeah. Max Verstappen is not winning.
No, I said on the podium. I did not say a top step of the podium.
I understand. I'd love to see a Renault on the podium. I don't care who's driving.
I tell you, this kid might surprise quite a few people in the rain.
In the rain.
A little girl outside. One of your favorites, right?
It is one of my favorites. I don't know what's going to happen, but we need rain. I don't care if it's artificial. I want to see garden hoses out there. Something. Something's got to happen. If I see another 1-2 in qualifying and another 1-2 from Mercedes in the Grand Prix, you know what might happen?
Tell me.
I might go mad.
Yes, you may go postal.
I may go postal, but I didn't go that far.
Okay.
See, I drew the line in the sand.
I'll tell you, if you want rain, some heavy, serious rain, come to Maryland. Wow, when it rains here, it is serious rain.
That's so beautiful, Nasser, because we get nothing over here. You understand that?
Yes.
I mean, you know, we're showering with buckets in the tub.
Wow, it's like the old Wild West.
It is like the Wild West.
Are you shooting people from your bathtub like Eli Wallach?
I do, but I do it more like Clint Eastwood.
Oh, wow.
Yes.
I hope you don't talk to an empty chair.
Wah, wah, wah.
Okay, Morricone.
Okay, thank you very much. Thank you. There you have it. You know what? And there's nobody else really to talk about. How's Manor doing?
Well, now that it's talked that they may also change engines, and, you know, it's just that Fabio Limer is also has signed up for some test duties. So they have problems, and they may not bring the car, the revised car, till next year. So the thing is, you know, Clark, the long and short is this. This Formula One income revenue stream has to be shared with all the participants, which not only means the racing team, but also the tracks. I mean, this is ridiculous to hear talk about, which is coming up, Monza losing a race, and there's no Formula One race in Germany and France. And it's pathetic.
But we have Azerbaijan.
Oh, yeah, Baku.
But, hey, we got Sochi.
Yeah, Sochi, yeah.
So at least we're going to Mexico. That's still on.
Yeah, Russia, you know, I will say this, and I know this because I've done a lot of research for racing drivers and facts and figures. Motor racing is very popular in East Europe, and including, of course, Russia. You know, we had Thomas Senge from Czech Republic and Zsolt Baumgartner from Hungary. So there is some passion there.
There is some passion. I totally agree with that. But to not have a Grand Prix in France, to not have a Grand Prix in Germany, and pretty soon there could be no Grand Prix in Italy, the end is near.
Yeah.
The final curtain.
Yeah, if there is no Grand Prix in Italy, then, you know, and with this Hoover sound of Formula One engines, I'll just go to historic events and enjoy the grandeur of the grand old days.
Because, yeah,
like I said, you know, you can be at the quota in your tent, sleeping during the race, and the sound will not wake you up.
Absolutely, and I'll be over at Talladega watching Lunesca.
Yeah, absolutely. At least you'll get, you know, two hot dogs for 99 cents.
Exactly! And right now, two dogs for 99 cents is a heck of a deal.
Yes.
So, it is what it is, Nasser. I don't know what to say, you know? But the other thing is, 2005, 2006, I was so happy, I was excited, I was alive. But we forget, all things must end.
Yes, and I remember those days. I remember going to Laguna Seca at the on the weekend of, I think it was the 2000 race, and you were so pumped up. I think Renault had some problem with the gearbox or something, and Mr. Rogers was all pumped that Nando is going to come through and win the championship.
Exactly. But don't worry. We know how the pendulum swings, and one day she will swing back to my yes. way.
Yes.
So there you have it. I mean, any final thoughts on Austria?
Well, I have to ask you your favorite question. Who do you think is going to win?
Fernando in the rain, machismo.
And if there is no rain?
Then Fernando 19th.
Wow. That's all you care.
That's it. Are there other drivers out there?
Yeah, Niki Lauda will be driving some old Ferrari models or some racing cars from his golden era. So that's good. It will be a good event.
Oh, it's going to be a great event, but I figured after Le Mans they'd bring out Jackie Eakes or something.
Yeah. You know, talking of Jackie Eakes, I think Bill Ford, a Ford Motor Company, gave the, waved the starting flag at Le Mans, which was kind of cool.
That is kind of cool.
I got to tell you something, man. There are reports that BMW is looking to get into it, Porsche in for a long haul. Some of us remember sports car racing in the 70s with Alfa Romeo, Ferrari, Matra, Gulf Porsches. If they work this thing properly, this sports car racing can become more popular than Formula One, the way things are going in Formula One.
That's true. Maybe Gordini could come back.
There you go. What about your favorite, Pohan, or whatever
it is? That would be exciting. Pohan. Whoa. That would be machismo.
I would love to see the name Bugatti Alfa Romeo in at Le Mans.
Yeah. Pohan.
Yeah.
Peugeot.
There you go.
Yeah,
Delahaye.
Delage. Yes, there's a lot of good names to bring back.
Well, it sounds like you're upbeat and positive now. That's good.
I'm feeling better now.
There you go.
So, but that's just because of the pills I take.
Okay.
Nothing else.
Okay, cool.
And now, from the corners of the universe, let's spin the globe and go around the world with Motorsports Mondial and the Swami of K-Town, Nasser Hamid.
Thank you, sir. And we shall start with racing on two wheels, MotoGP. What a surprise. Suzuki was on pole, and this was very, very amazing. Okay, but Jorge Lorenzo takes his fourth consecutive victory of the season for Yamaha. Lorenzo led from start to finish. He's having a pretty strong season this year. Defending world champion Marc Marquez crashed out early in the race while chasing his fellow countrymen. The doctor, Valentino Rossi, made it a 1-2 for Yamaha. His championship lead now is only a single point. Lorenzo on a hot roll for his third championship. Lorenzo, he was so impressive, pretty much like Marquez when he first came on the scene. To go against, Rossi as a rookie and win lots of races, that's very impressive.
Yes.
Danny Pedrosa was third man on the podium for Honda, his first of the season. Pedrosa has become the Barrichello of bike racing thanks to fellow countrymen like Lorenzo and Marquez. And this race was at Circuit de Catalunya, where we had a massive battle between Jorge Lorenzo and Rossi in 2009, and Rossi tricked him on the last corner. Man, that was el machismo, el fantástico. Do you remember that, sir?
Of course I remember that. I felt that I was
on,
there.
It's on YouTube for all to see and enjoy, which that to me is as inspiring as Dijon Prenois 79.
That's a stretch, Nasser.
No, it is, because, I enjoy all sorts of motorsports as long as they're turning right and left. Mm. Okay, next stop is the Netherlands at Assen on June 27. This is another very high on my bucket list to attend this race at Assen, because this track is to MotoGP what Monza is to Formula One. Now we move to your favorite series, and this will really make you happy. Every finisher has a Renault engine, World Series by Renault from Hungaroring. Russian driver, talking about motorsports in Eastern Europe, Russian driver Igor Urudzev was the winner, his first victory in the series, which used to be called World Series by Nissan, and at one time, little Nando, poquito Nando, used to race in this series. Igor held off a strong challenge from F1 driver Roberto Meri, who was second, and Oliver Rowland, who completed the podium in third place. Race 2, English driver Rowland was the winner over French driver Mathieu Vessivier, and Gustav Malia from Sweden was third. And Mr. Rowland is now leading the championship with 123 points. And next round is at the Red Bull Ring on the weekend of July 12th. And at least at this race, Dietrich Mateschitz will not be able to complain about Renault power.
Oh, he will.
Oh, he'll find a reason?
Oh, he pulls up at a service station driving his Mercedes, and he's whining about Renault.
He's driving a Mercedes, a gravel car?
You didn't know that?
I thought he was running around his Steyr Puch, a Puch moped.
That's
right. Do you remember those from Austria?
No, he does drive one. It's a 1982.
Wow. Turbo model?
Yeah, turbo, and it's completely restored.
Well, good for him. Mm. Okay, IndyCars from Toronto. Will Power takes pole ahead of two Penske teammates. This is very impressive. He is now fifth on the all-time list for pole position in IndyCar racing, and impressive for a driver for the time he has been in IndyCars. Now, you know, they say love relationship at work is not recommended, do not work out. Well, Will Power proved everybody wrong. He used to drive for Derek Walker's IndyCar team. Mrs. Power is a lady from Texas who used to do PR for Derek's team.
Exciting.
Yeah, exactly. Okay, back to the race. Result was an impressive 1-2 finish for the Carpenter, Fisher, Hartman team, with Joseph Newgarden from Nashville, Tennessee, winning his second race of the season. Not too long ago, Newgarden used to race in GP3, and we interviewed him when he was in Europe. Second was his teammate who used to race in GP2, and we also interviewed him some time ago in Europa, Signor Luca Filippi. And now we come to your favorite racing series, sir.
Le NASCAR.
From Brooklyn, Michigan, a track once owned by Roger Penske, Kyle Busch is back on his winning feet after a serious accident in the season opener at Daytona. Now, this is interesting, Clark. While on the Bushy subject, the former girlfriend of his brother is in some serious doo-doo, accused of, apart from being called a hired assassin by Kurt Busch, of using her charity's bank account for personal items. I guess when you are only making $170,000 a year, you are hurting for money. But you know, Clark, at F1 Weekly, we always have a positive outlook on the future. If she loses her job, there may be a vacancy for her by Lake Geneva at FIFA.
Exciting. I love FIFA.
Yeah, and that was the zinger of the day. Now, in other news, this is interesting. Remember when the Texas track was completed? Before the first race, there was a lawsuit between a group of investors and Tavo Hellman and this and that?
Of course.
Okay. More blues from the planet of New Orleans. A subsidiary of Andretti Sports Marketing has filed a federal lawsuit Tuesday against NOLA Motorsports Park. Andretti Sports Management claims it had gotten assurances from NOLA Motorsports that there would be enough state grant money to help compensate the company for its services. Bright legal minds from both sides are working overtime so this does not become another Louisiana Huey Long story. As Paul Newman used to say, lawyers have to eat also. Any thoughts on that, Senor?
Paul Newman was a humanitarian, so they don't really have to eat.
Yeah. Okay, Monza or Imola? Bernie is a simple guy to deal with. All he wants is more money. If you don't have $20 million, please do not waste his time. He can arrange a Grand Prix in Ghana or Gambia if only they had enough oil wells, as in Azerbaijan. His latest victim may be the Temple of Speed, where names like Nuvolari and Fangio used to race. The one and only Autodromo Nazionale di Monza. The Italian Grand Prix may be shifted to Imola, located near Bologna and not too far from the Ferrari factory. Imola hosted the 1980 Italian Grand Prix, which was won, I believe, by Nelson Piquet Sr., and some reports are suggesting that the race may alternate between Monza and Imola, which, you know, will not be a bad deal as long as we have Monza. Monza is the favorite track for millions of racing fans around the world, moi included. Losing this track would be super, super pathetic. The banking, Lesmo Uno, Lesmo Due, Curva Ascari, Parabolica, this is a pure motor racing landmark and should remain on the calendar. The history and legacy of Monza is worth a lot more than $20 million, and these are just my two liras on the subject. What say you, Senor?
I think that's a wonderful thing. I like Imola, but you know what? Should stay at Monza. Every year should be at Monza.
Okay, now we come to famous last words. Our good friends Red Bull and Dr. Marco are relentless in their rage against Renault, the friendly folks from Véry Châtillon who powered their driver to four successive championships not so long ago. The latest rumor mill is that Red Bull is looking into an Italian job and may ditch their French partner for the 2016 season. Report says any Ferrari engine made available to Red Bull and Toro Rosso will feature about 20 less prancing horsepower and will be a B engine. But Dr. Marco is such a positive thinker, his response and famous last words are, I quote, even a B version of the Ferrari would be better than the A version of the Renault, end of quote. So I don't think there is any Tylenol or ibuprofen that can relieve his headache.
No, but I could have Fisichella text him.
Or meet him for cappuccino with a baseball bat.
At Spa Francorchamps.
There you go.
Thank you. So, whatever. You know what? These people, I mock them all.
Yeah, Clark, stay positive and good things will happen. And one thing that will not happen is Alonso is not going to win in Austria, so don't be too disappointed if that happens. And hang in there.
I understand. But I also want to put out another congratulatory remark towards our wonderful friend Nico Hülkenberg for winning the LMP1 class at Le Mans. An outstanding job in his first attempt. And, you know, people forget that his last win was in GP2 in 2009.
Yeah, in beautiful Algarve, Portugal.
Bravo, 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 Nico. Yeah, that's a big drought for that man. So he really needed some motivation.
Yeah, this kid is very good in the rain, by the way.
Exactly, and so is Fernando, by the way.
Yes, yes. Fernando is good everywhere, man.
I told you, but you won't listen.
You know, even when he makes a right turn to go to the Bagno, I mean, he's like machismo.
He is. And you know what? Even if he goes to the camper truck series, he'll be machismo.
Oh, absolutely.
You know, he'll make Nelson Piquet Jr. look terrible.
And you know, the good thing is, there is a town called Oviedo in Florida also.
Of course, that's called the Sister Nation.
Yeah, so he could be the Maverick from Oviedo, FLA.
I don't know what's happening. I'm all confused, Nasser.
Just hang in there. Just hang in there.
I'm like a feather in a whirlwind.
Wow.
I know. Lots of spinning. So, well, thanks for another outstanding Motorsports Mondial, Nasser.
Thank you, sir.
Yes, outstanding. And once again, I want to thank the listeners who listen. Good night.
Thank you. Bye-bye.